Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mommy Faceted Podcast, a podcast for moms of color who are juggling motherhood, career, and real life. And I'm your host, Rachel Pierre. So we are all juggling a lot, and that's why this episode is so appropriate for right now, for any time, really, whenever you're listening to this. I listen to it again, and I'm sure I'll be listening to it probably yearly because we all get to that point where we feel like we are just completely burned out. And that actually happened to our guest, Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith, and she was writing a book when her kids were young. She was a wife. She was working full-time as a physician and trying to lose that baby weight, just doing all of the things, and realized that she was getting burned out, and this was years of just going. Something that sounds probably familiar to you. So she worked through this period and realized that there were 7 different types of rest. And so in this episode, we talk about how she realized she was burned out, and this may help you to identify whether you are burned out or not, and then how to recover from that, be fully rested, because just getting enough sleep is not enough. You really have to work on all these different ways to be rested. And I will tell you, 3 of them were eye-opening to me, and I've been working on them since I talked to Dr. Dalton-Smith. So I'm super excited about seeing this sort of change in my own life personally. So I hope this will help you just as much. If you want to know about Dr. Dalton-Smith, just head over to Mommy Faceted to get today's show notes for this episode, and you'll be able to find a link for Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith's website where you can see her books. The book for this about rest is called Sacred Rest. And just to see more about her, head over to mommyfaceted.com. Now we will get into the interview after a quick word from our sponsor. So I don't know if you're like me, but homeschooling while we've been out on quarantine has been a total eye-opener for me. Trying to teach my son his letters and figure out, you know, the best way that he learns has definitely been difficult. I'm not a teacher by trade, but I found a lot of great resources, and one is the Homeschool Buyers Co-op, and that has helped me figure out how to teach him and have some fun with it. So in traditional schools, they have access to buying, you know, books and tools and different teaching guides. But if you're a homeschooler, you don't necessarily have access to those types of materials. And so the Homeschool Buyers Co-op allows you to have the purchasing power that homeschoolers traditionally not been able to get access to. There are great deals, there's products, there's free resources, and there's even a Smart Points Rewards program.
If you log onto the website homeschoolbuyersco-op.org, you'll be able to log in, get a free account, and if you use the code MOMMYFACETED as your referral code, you'll receive 5,000 Smart Points, which is $5 towards anything that you want to purchase in the co-op. Again, that's homeschoolbuyersco-op.org, and use the code MOMMYFACETED to get started with your Smart Points. Hi, Sandra, how are you? And welcome to the Mommy Faceted Podcast.
Hi, Rachel, I'm doing great.
Good. I'm so excited to have you on. I think this topic is going to be so appropriate for right now, just for motherhood in general. I think as I was kind of listening to your TED Talk and some of the other pieces that you've spoken on or written, have been written about you, you know, I could just see myself all through it. So I'm excited if it's not just to help me personally, but other people as well. So I'm happy for today. And I like to kind of get started going back in time a little bit. Before you became a mom, did you always know that you wanted to be a mom, or was it something that you were nervous about, hesitating? Did you think it would come naturally? What were those kind of beginning days like for you?
Honestly, I always said I didn't want to be a mom.
Really?
Yes. As growing up, I've always kind of single focused thinking about career. And so I knew I wanted to be a physician. I knew that that was going to take a lot of time. And I knew I was going to be in school for a very long period of time. So when many of my friends were, you know, getting married and having kids, I was still in school and in school for very long periods of time during the day. So I loved playing with their kids. And, you know, I was Auntie Sandra to a whole lot of people. And so I got my, as we say, baby feels. I was able to enjoy other people's children, and I never really felt like I needed to have any of my own. I wasn't married, so that was part of it too. So I think for me, I never really envisioned myself as a mother. I'd always really had this single focus on career, And once I met my husband and, you know, we had been together for probably about 3 to 4 years, just really enjoying the single, or I should say the couple life, you know, without mm-hmm. children and just mm-hmm. traveling when we wanted to do and doing all of those things, I still didn't want kids. And so it was pretty far into our relationship. I was into my 30s before we as a couple kind of mm-hmm. had that conversation, like, you know, it would kind of be nice, I think, to have other people in our home and, you know, to raise a family together. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, no, it wasn't something I thought about. And I honestly, when we did decide to have children, I think I had lots of fears mm-hmm. because I couldn't see how that was going to fit into my life.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. And I think a lot of people will definitely relate to being so focused on career and wanting to, you know, to accomplish certain things. How do you think that affected you as a mom, you know, after you did have your two children? Do you feel like it was different than other women's experiences that you, you know, may have been in groups with, or did you have any sort of, I guess, benefit or like the pros and cons? How do you think it kind of affected you, you know, having that focus up front on one thing and then sort of switching gears?
I think it caused me to kind of already be thinking about some of the things I saw other women saying they were struggling with. So I knew I was going to be a working mom. So long before, you know, the baby was out of the wound, I was looking at these books and magazines, yeah. You know, for working mothers, you know, what do you do with, if you're going to breastfeed, how do you, you know, store the milk? How do you bond when you drop them off at, you know, 6 a.m. to daycare and pick them up at 5? Just all of these things. And I think the one thing that I was really afraid of was that, you know, that whole mommy guilt thing. I'm like, am I going to feel that?
Yeah,
am I going to feel like a bad parent if I drop my children off and I have to go to work? And so I think because I was so mindful of that, that I really didn't experience a lot of it. I had kind of already got my mindset to a place where I was okay. I knew I was making a decision that was going to change parts of my life and things were going to be different, but I didn't feel like I really didn't want it to make sure that being a mother and having children didn't kind of make me feel like I wasn't myself anymore. I mean, I'm a type A, high achieving kind of personality. And I was like, I can't change who I am at the core because I'm having children. I've got to figure out how this is going to work together. So I'm still me, but I'm also their mama.
Yeah. And that's an important distinction. And I think one that we try to highlight a lot on Mommy Faceted is just, you are still who you are. You still like what you like and can do what you, you know, do the things that make you while being a mom. And so what are some of the things that you're doing now that really reinforce that?
Well, I think one of the things when my children are teenagers now, when they were young, one of the things that really helped me still feel like I was myself was I was still growing. I was still kind of moving forward in my career. It wasn't one of those things where, oh, I'm going to wait till they get to this age and then I'll try to do this or do that. You know, I had these ambitions of wanting to really start getting to a place where I was able to share some of the research and some of the different things that I was doing. And so I sought out, you know, media opportunities while I was a mom with toddlers at home. You know, I sought out book contracts and all of these different things that I had ambitions for, even though I knew it was going to be a little bit harder. I wrote my first book. I tell everyone, you know, right now, my big theme that people get me to talk about is rest. The reason I had to write a book on rest is because I burned out. And I burned out really starting around that period of my very first book that I wrote, because I was writing it between 2 and 5 a.m. I would go to work.
Wow. Yeah.
I would go to work. I would, you know, come home, spend time with the kids. They go to bed at 9:00. I'd go to bed at 9:00. And then I'd wake up at 2 a.m. so that I'd have like 3 hours to write before I had to get everybody ready to go back to work and do it all over again.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where I was happy that I was able to kind of keep pushing forward, and I was able to kind of keep doing the things that make me who I am, that fit with my personality and the things that I care about. But I also had to find some harmony in that. I don't like to use the word balance. That's what a lot of people say, but harmony. I had to find a place where it all flowed well together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to kind of backtrack to that burnout period. So if you could just kind of walk us through what kind of initially was going on. So you had two young toddlers and you were writing a book and you were a physician and a wife. And so, you know, what were kind of all the roles that you were trying to juggle or manage at the same time? And you know, I guess what was kind of leading up to that burnout period?
Oh, I was trying to be everything. So at the, you know, during that particular period, I remember I was trying to, you know, lose the baby weight. So I was going to the gym at lunch, working out for an hour, you know, and that was my downtime, so to speak, at hours, you know, slaving on the treadmill or the elliptical.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, still trying to write this book and I had a deadline. So, you know, when you're under deadline, you have to the best of your ability, meet that deadline. So I was pushing myself with that. And as I say that, I was still doing a lot of things with media. So I was, you know, being contacted by journalists for different things. And those are usually on deadline. So it was like having a deadline in a deadline. You're writing a book and then you get an email that says, hey, can you give us a quote on XYZ thing that's happening, you know, regarding health in the news? And you're like, okay, let me stop what I'm doing and do and research that for a moment to give you, you know, a great quote. Mm-hmm. Or you get an email that says, hey, we have our 6 o'clock broadcast on our radio show. Can you stop for a moment and maybe jump on for 15 minutes to give us a PSA about this? And you're, you know, you're doing all of these things and you really didn't kind of blanket time for them. So it's pulling you in many different directions. And then on top of that, I was married, you know, I had a husband who wanted my time too, who, you know, wanted some time and energy and to continue to build and to strengthen our relationship. So yeah, there was a lot of hats kind of going around at the same time.
Yeah, I can imagine. It sounds all too familiar. and so I guess what did it look like when you realized you were in a situation where you were just burned out? You know, like what were you physically feeling? What were you mentally feeling? Just, you know, so kind of help us identify if some of us are in that phase or we're headed in that direction. What does it look like? Or what did it look like for you?
Rachel, it was miserable. It's what it felt like. I hurt. Yeah. I mean, my body hurt and it wasn't kind of like, it wasn't like the gym kind of hurt. It was just this sore muscles, tight muscles, headaches, backaches. I remember having like this, I would call it a chronic cold, but it wasn't a cold. It was just this kind of chronic weakened immune system where your body just never felt good. And you always felt like you were on the verge of catching something, you know, no fever, you know, nothing like that. You just felt kind of weakened and drained all the time. I would go to bed at night and I might get 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep, but I would wake up exhausted as if I had never hit the bed.
Yeah.
I would try to, and even when I tried to go to sleep at night, you know, it would take me like an hour because my head would like be going through everything. I would think, oh, don't forget to pack this for the boys' lunch tomorrow. Don't forget to sign this note so somebody can go on, you know, whatever. Don't forget to do this. And so my head would just kind of be going through this spinning loop of all this stuff on my tomorrow's to-do list when I'm supposed to be sleeping tonight. So it was kind of this just chronic restlessness that just would not go away no matter what I did. And I remember, you know, on the weekends, you know, when I didn't have to work, being at home with my family, and I tell my husband, you know, we're going to rest this weekend. And so we wouldn't do anything. You know, we just kind of sit around at home and just kind of hang out as a family. But I still didn't feel any better. I didn't feel any more rested. I was still tired, you know, come the next Sunday or Monday when I wake up. And it just felt like there was no hope. Like, this is just how it is. When you're a mom and you're, you know, you have things going on, you have your own stuff going on, that you're just chronically doomed to be exhausted. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think what you said there is exactly what I say a lot. And what I hear is that this is just how it is. Or I know my kids are young, so, you know, I'm expecting this, you know, it is, there's no other way that it can be. And so, yeah, I think that's so fitting to what people, and especially now that we're kind of in this pandemic and things are just crazy outside of our control. In addition to, like you said, those thoughts of, okay, did I check this off? Did I pack that? Did I grab this? Did I get that from the store? You know, all of those things on top of each other.
it's a lot. And so what was the first thing that you did to kind of move past this and move out of this this stage once you realized, you know, what you were dealing with?
Well, I think that's the thing. I stayed there for a long time. So I lived there for, you know, for a while, probably for about 2 years or so, about 3 years actually, because I didn't really kind of hit rock bottom, so to speak, until my oldest child was three. And so I was in that place for quite a while, you know, early in motherhood. And what I remember picking up my children from daycare once, after coming home from work, and both of my children, one was three, the other one's like one and a half. I remember sending them in front of the TV and just, you know, I was at such a low point. I just laid out on the floor. And that's actually how I open up in my book, Sacred Rest, with me mm-hmm. on the floor in that moment, because I believe for myself, that was really when it kind of clicked that I had gotten to a place where something had to change. Because up until then, I was like, well, I'm a big girl. I can manage this. I can keep pushing through. You know, I don't have to take any, you know, breaks or rest. I can just keep going. And I think in that moment, it finally dawned on me that this isn't living. You know, I had spent all this time building up this career and working towards these goals, and I had created something, but what I created looked really successful, you know, on the outside to other people, but right. It did not feel mm-hmm. successful. It did mm-hmm. not feel good.
Yeah.
And I, you know, at that point felt like if I created this, I can create something else. And I just got to figure out what that something else is.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have that mindset of, oh, I'll just push through and I'll, you know, make it work. Why do you think that's so dangerous to have that kind of mindset?
Well, I think it keeps you trapped, you know, because it starts making you feel like you have to work with the dysfunction, that is just where the starting point is, and you just can't, you know, there isn't any other options. And, you know, for myself, when I first started with that process, I think because my background is in research and science, that's kind of where I initially kind of headed to. It's like, okay, let me see what the science and the research and even the medicines, the medical journals are saying mm-hmm. about fatigue and rest and exhaustion. And, you know, what are the next steps I can at least begin to think about? And it was interesting because, you know, there really wasn't that much information about it. You know, all the information was directed towards sleep. And I had gotten 7-8 hours of sleep. So I knew sleep wasn't my issue. And so, you know, that was where I think myself as a researcher started looking, okay, there's something else going on here and no one's talking about it or really kind of breaking it down in a way that it makes sense, because we've lumped it all, you know, into sleep, and that's not the issue. And I think that's kind of where it started for me, kind of looking at, okay, we have sleep, and then we need rest, and they can't be the same thing. So what's the difference? And the starting to look at that.
Yeah, that's such an amazing, you know, just important realization. And, you know, I'm glad you have figured it out so that the rest of us can kind of take that and run with it now. One of the things that I really loved about, I was watching your TED talk, and you were talking about how we have these groups of high achieving, high producing, yet burned out individuals. And I think when I think of a Black working mom, that is like the picture that I see. You know, like you said, on paper, we have these amazing jobs and we're on all these teams at work, and, you know, we're taking the kids here and there. And, you know, we just look on paper like we've got it all, you know, going on, because we're, you know, these amazing women who are working. But, you know, we have these periods of burnout that we're not realizing. Like you said, for you, it was 2 to 3 years. And, you know, for others, it may be even longer. And so that's just like the image that I see. And I think it explains us as a people, you know, perfectly, unfortunately. And so I love that you have broken it down into 7 types of rest. So can you kind of walk us through the 7 different types and maybe where we can start if we realize we're at this point where we need to really step back and evaluate that, you know, just getting sleep is not going to be enough for where we are?
Yeah. Well, the 7 types of rest are physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, social, sensory, and creative. And of those, oftentimes what people really, the very first step is determining which of the seven you're most efficient in. And so for my own patients, when I started this process and really looking at it with them, that's where the REST quiz came out of. I have a free assessment at restquiz.com that helps you determine which of those seven you're most efficient in. Because, you know, when you hear that, it's kind of like, oh goodness, I got seven things I got to figure out and how to get rest in seven of these areas. You know, for most people, they're already getting adequate rest in quite a few of them. But usually there's one or two that either you're not aware that you're deficient in, or sometimes you're not aware it even exists. You know, a lot of people have never even heard of creative rest or never even right. thought about sensory rest. Mm-hmm. And so because it's not something that they have really been intentional about, they have not done restorative activities to improve the deficits, that the rest deficits that they have in those areas. So that tends to be kind of the first step, really, is understanding which of those seven you actually need more of in your life.
Yeah, that's a great starting point. And I think, you know, someone who is kind of burned out definitely needs some direct kind of help because, you know, mm-hmm. that's the point, you know, we probably can't think outside of, you know, our current issues or challenges. And so having that direction is really helpful. What are some of the things that you're doing now to renew your energy and to kind of reset yourself now that you've kind of experienced this burnout, you've healed yourself from it, and you know, you're in this enlightened place where you understand the seven types of rest. So what are some of the things that you're doing just to kind of give us some examples of things that we may, like, you know, be able to incorporate?
Yeah. So with physical rest, and physical rest has two different parts. It has the passive, which is like sleeping and napping. Then it has the active component of physical rest, which are things like stretching or yoga or leisure walks. That's been a huge one for me, particularly now with, you know, even medicine has turned into telemedicine for a large part of it. So I'm at a computer and on my behind way longer than I'm used to being, you know, in a seated position. And so for a lot of women, you know, you'll start noticing like your legs will start hurting, or you start even noticing like some swelling and things like that. So the active part of physical rest has been huge for me. Practicing flow break cycles where, you know, as we say, flow for 90 minutes to 2 hours, where you do the work and you kind of stay really grounded and go deep with it. And then take like a 15 or 10 or 15 minute break in that flow break cycle to get up and to walk around a little bit, to kind of get the circulation back moving in my legs and get the muscles in my neck and shoulder loosened up just with some movement. Another part of it for me has been creative rest. Creative rest is the rest that we experience when we allow ourselves to appreciate beauty, whether that's, you know, man-made beauty like art or music, or something like nature and, you know, going outside and experiencing nature. For many people, creative rest has to do with water, or, you know, seeing the water or being at the beach and those kind of things. So oftentimes, because I use a lot of creative energy, not just with writing and speaking, but I use a lot of creative energy just in the brainstorming process, you know, and I think that's important for people to realize creative rest is not just for creatives, it's for anyone who has to be innovative. If you're an entrepreneur, you're having to, you know, market and think outside of the box and, you know, think about what your clients would want and all of these things. So you're having to kind of really stay in an innovative and creative space, which means you're draining that part of yourself and you have to have creative rest to restore it back. And so that's a huge one for me. So oftentimes that can include just going outside. It can include putting fresh flowers inside my house so that I actually have something beautiful that I'm looking at. You know, not waiting for my husband to buy the flowers. I go pick out my own absolutely. You know, what I like, and be able to have that as something to kind of spark that creative energy. Another thing that's been huge for me, as I mentioned, I would lay down at night and my head would kind of rattle off this list of stuff, is to do brain dumping at nighttime. And so when I lay down at night, if my head is rummaging over anything, whether it's a conversation I had with somebody and they said something that, you know, irked my feelings a little bit and, you know, got in my feelings some, you know, rather than just kind of dwelling on that, I'll write it down. Because the way the brain works, when you write that information down, whether it's a to-do list that you're recounting or a conversation or emotional stuff that you're, you know, negative or positive emotions that you're dealing with, when you write it down, it kind of gives the brain permission to let it go in the moment. And so it doesn't, the brain doesn't continue to hold on to that responsibility of retaining it because it knows it's safely written somewhere. And so that's been very helpful for me, as well as practicing sensory rest. Turning off the radio if no one's listening to it, or the TV if no one's, you know, watching it, having some time in silence, you know, the kids go to bed or you know, take a nap or something, to just kind of quiet everything in the house and just to have a moment of, you know, in silence, just to let my senses kind of calm down. Sometimes I do that in the car. I don't know if anyone else has done this. Your house is like chaos and you're I'm going to go sit in the car for a minute. Let me go drive around the block, you know?
Oh yeah.
Sometimes you just need a moment.
Yeah. Yep. I definitely have done the riding around quietly. And the brain dumps are probably my favorite thing. Because yeah, I feel a lot of tension when I have all those things sort of swirling around. But I did not think about the, like you said, the creative rest, and I didn't think of it as sensory rest, but I understand, I get that correlation and probably need to do it more often. So thank you, you know, for breaking that down. I think that's really helpful to see some concrete examples.
Yeah. Well, you know, sensory rest is very, very interesting because, you know, we have multiple types of senses, and some of them we don't really think about. You know, one that was really interesting to me when working with moms, particularly young mom of young children, was I specifically had one client that I was coaching, and she said, I don't know what's wrong with me. They had two kids. One was like somewhere around 4 and the other one was somewhere around like 2. And she's like, you know, I love my husband. I normally enjoy sex, but I don't want him touching me, period, you know, at all. Not like a hug, a kiss. Like, I don't want him touching me, you know, and that's weird, you know, for a couple. Yeah. That's not normal for a couple that loves each other. And when we were having this conversation, I was asking questions regarding her day to day. And when she was talking, she didn't really even realize that she said this multiple times. She talked about picking up her kids and having her kids on her lap and, you know, how they pat her on the hip and say, mommy, mommy, you know, when they want her attention.
Yeah.
And I when I was talking with her husband, because sometimes it's hard because she can't undo that. That's mommyhood. You know what I mean? You can't get away from that. That's just being a mom.
Exactly.
So when I was talking to her husband, I said, you know, she's sensory overloaded with touch. I was like, she is not that she doesn't want you. She's touched all day long. She's touched out by the time you get home. So you create room in that relationship for her to reclaim her body before you to have try to go into any level of intimacy. So he took over the nighttime ritual. So for, you know, the hour or so where he reads to the kids and gets the pajamas on and gets all, you know, all the stuff that has to be done before you go to bed, she gets 30 minutes to just get her body back. And you won't believe, I've never had a male, he wasn't even the client, she was the client. I've never had a guy write such a positive review send such an encouraging email. I think because he hadn't been getting anything for a while after that last child. And all of a sudden, it's like their relationship has been re-sparked of something so simple as correcting a sensory rest deficit that was there.
That is so interesting. And I'm like, speaking of being touched all day by a baby...
I understand. we've all been there.
Yes, exactly. But that makes so much sense. And it's clicking for me just how many little things may be affected by an overload in one of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So last two questions that I ask every guest. First is, what is something that you are doing right now that is just for you?
Right now, the thing that I'm doing just for me is training for a marathon. It's time consuming to train.
That's
lots of hours on your feet. So, and you know, I'm at a place now where that's easy to say because my kids are teens. So, you know, I have a lot of room in my life now that isn't as consumed with the mothering role, but I'm loving it because I feel like I'm also getting my body back and my strength back and really just kind of overcoming some mental hurdles. You know, it's physically, but there's something about kind of pushing yourself beyond what you've done before that mentally is encouraging in other areas of your life as well.
That's so cool. Well, good luck on your marathon.
Well, thank you. Hopefully I'll be able to run it. I've been training for a while now. It was set up for June. And then as you can imagine, everything got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm in the extended marathon training. My husband calls it. He's like, you can't drop your fitness now. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. So I've got to keep doing 10 miles every weekend.
Yeah. Till who knows when.
Yeah.
That's funny. And so last question is, what is the number one thing that you must have or must do to keep all of the balls in the air?
Google Calendar. That's an immediate must have. Google Calendar. And then because of my coaching and other stuff that I do, Acuity Scheduler, those two things run my life basically. Because the thing is, because of my normal mentality, if I didn't have a place to kind of put all of what I'm supposed to do in the day, I would spend all day worrying about, am I missing something? Did I do? Am I showing up where I'm supposed to show up?
That anxiety is.
And so because I know anyone who schedules time with me has done it on, you know, one of my schedulers, which then dumps into my calendar, I never have to kind of question, you know, am I where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And I can block off my time. So I feel like, you know, if I need to block off a day to myself, I have usually every other month, I'll do kind of what I call a mommy day. Sometimes it's a half day, but it's just time for me during the week, not just on the weekend, but during the week for me just to remember I'm important too. You know, I would take off that time to take my kids to the, you know, pediatrician or whatever.
Yeah,
I have to be able to do that for myself and not need to go to a healthcare provider, but just to go do stuff that I need to be, you know, sane, like get my nails done or my hair done or, you know, what, or a massage or whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you make it during the week because then it is intentional. You're making that specific time for you and it's not interrupting on, you know, the few moments of family time you may have on the weekend or all of that kind of running around we usually do when the world is normal outside.
Yeah. And I love that I could even do that when my kids were small because, you know, they'd have those like in our area, they'd have like Tuesday, Thursday, mommy mornings at some of the different locations where they would keep your kids for like, you know, 10 to or 8 to like 11 or something like that in the morning.
Yeah.
And so you'd have this little block of time just to go do whatever, you know, for yourself.
I love that too. I love that idea. I need to start implementing that ASAP. Well, I really wanted to thank you, Sandra, for jumping on it. Like I said, this was one of the topics that for me personally, I needed to hear. And I know it will help so many in the Mommy Faceted audience. And so I am so glad that you were able to share everything with us.
Oh, well, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Hey, Mama. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. For show notes and information about today's guest, head over to mommyfaceted.com. Also, make sure to follow Mommy Faceted on social media. That's Instagram and Facebook at Mommy Faceted. And there you'll find some stuff that doesn't make it to the podcast, whether that's more information about me, what's going on behind the scenes with my family, information about our guests, and other little things about motherhood that may surprise you, may encourage you, and inspire you. Also, if you have a moment, please, please, please take some time to write a review. Whether you're listening in iTunes or Apple Podcasts, you can write a review and let me know which guests you like, which topics you're enjoying. Just share your thoughts. If you're listening on any other player, whether that's Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you can find the podcast, make sure to subscribe so that you get notifications when the next episode comes out. All right. Thank you so much for listening, and I pray you have a great week.